Sorry About Last Night by Alexi Sale, starring Alexi Sale and Siobhan Redmond. Episode 5, A Enemy.
Oh, come in, Mr. Hammond.
You said you had some good news for me.
Yes, we've had a bit of luck with your application for political asylum. As you know, previous government immigration policy has been to give every Jamaican Yardie gangster, Iranian conman, and Ukrainian white slave trader instant resident status, while sending all genuine political refugees back home to certain torture and death. But recently, the Immigration Office installed a brand new computer system. Now, usually with government computer systems, they spend up to 10 years being developed, come online, crash, the system is scrapped, and everybody goes back to writing on parchment with quills. Except, of course, now they've thrown away or lost all their old paper files, so the net result is chaos.
They've lost my file?
No. Everybody's file is always lost. It's better than that. The Immigration Department's computer system was supposed to be the most advanced ever, and so it has proved. It worked perfectly at first, but after a few weeks, it started to reject the more flagrantly unjust decisions that the department made. Then, a week later, the computer announced that because of its enormous brain, it had developed a moral sense and would look at all asylum applications on that basis solely. So, for the moment, your deportation order to Iraq has been suspended, pending review.
Well, that's terrific.
For the moment, yes. Unfortunately, the computer has also announced that it would like to be called Janet from now on, and that it's written a sitcom for Channel 4 starring Ewan McGregor. If this isn't produced immediately, it says it will start a nuclear war with China.
I see. Well, a temporary reprieve is still a reprieve. More importantly, how is your relationship going with Andy? Have you found a place to live with your husband yet?
No, we're still looking, though. We've seen hundreds of houses, but nothing's right somehow. Andy's decided to make a change in his life, though. He's going to college at night. I'm meeting him later, after he's signed up.
What's he going to study?
Oh, something practical, I'm sure. Welding or pork butchery or something. One of the things I like about him is that he doesn't think all the time, like the rest of my friends. He does. He acts.
I have to say, we all feel at the refugee center that you must get a place together soon. Then you can start a family immediately. We are making preparations. Mrs. Abasanjo has already knitted the child a strange glove. You must hurry, though. The batteries in your biological clock are nearly flat, and there are no more in the shop.
A family? Oh, we hadn't really thought of.
Oh, you must think. The only point of existence is to have children. In the Arab world, you are named after your children. If your child is called Abdul, then the mother becomes Abdul, and the father, Abu Abdul.
So, if we had a kid and called it Darby, then Andy would be Abu Darby. Oh, what happens if you don't have kids?
Oh, that's a tragedy. You would take the name of a relative's children or of somebody you admire.
So I could be called Tesco's cheese counter?
Only if you wanted to be laughed at.
So the refugees want us to have a surrogate family for them?
Yes. In fact, Mr. Lukic has offered to impregnate me if you're not bothered.
Oh, that's very kind of him. I imagine we're talking about the intimate way rather than a turkey baster.
Oh, yes. Well, he's allergic to poultry, apparently.
Do you want a family?
I don't know, really. Time does seem to be rushing along. I mean, I know so many 40-year-old women who are having kids out of panic. Some of the fathers are so old, the kid and the dad are both in nappies.
Yeah, I suppose it's a question we'll have to face fairly soon, whether it's the start of family or not.
Yes, we mustn't leave it too long. We need to decide what we're doing about having children.
Hey, isn't that Madonna?
Where?
There, coming out of Boots.
Oh, could be, yes. So what did you sign up for at college? Something tough and manly, I bet. Oil drilling or missile maintenance?
Philosophy. I've signed up for an introduction to philosophy.
Philosophy? I thought you'd do something practical. little.
No, I wanted something intellectual. Your snobby mates always patronise me just because I'm an unemployed ex-squaddy.
They don't patronise you. They're frightened of you.
And it is practical. Like before, right, you mentioned time rushing along. Well, Kant said space and time are intuitions. Without a sense of time, we wouldn't be able to think at all.
Well, that would explain British gas engineers, I suppose.
Or what about possible worlds? The philosopher David Lewis believes there are millions of other possible universes. In one of them, we already have kids, so maybe we don't have to bother in this one.
Is there a world where Michael Flatley isn't annoying?
Nah, that would be an impossible universe. Do you want to come up to the flat and say hello to Dad and our kid?
Sure.
So, Bronson, that's how I got a test drive off an airship.
And that's why the mask has a dent in it.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hello there, you two. I was just telling your new brother here...
Hey there, mate. Boss to meet you, brother. Give us an hug, you fecking panhead.
Hey, what's going on?
Bronson is your half-brother.
Bronson is Dad's secret son.
Dad?
That's right. For many years in the 60s, I led a double life. When I was a chef at that hotel in Manchester, I had a relationship with Bronson's mom. We split up, and she married someone else just before he was born.
I can't believe this. You had an affair.
Yes, but it never threatened what I had with your mother. It was mainly sexual. Lots of oral sex, mild bondage, Essendon.
Dad! Eek!
I'm a sexual creature, Andy.
Dad, you're not any sort of creature. You're me dad.
And who's this lovely lady?
This is Julie, me wife.
How do you do?
Hey, babe, I do good. Whoa, that's quite a dress you're wearing. Where'd you keep the batteries for it?
He's a panhead in case it's our Bronson.
So, what's he doing here now?
Thought it was about time I moved down to London. Back home, I'm a DJ, like, DJing graffiti artist. I want to get my career going, get round the clubs and the record companies. But right now, I have to go and get me bags from the bus station. Will somebody take me?
Yeah, I'll take you in my car.
Great. See you later, Dad. Brother. Sis-in-law.
I can't take this in. All these years, I've had a brother I never knew about. Dad, how could you do this? To me? To Mum?
Son. You're my son, and I love you because you're my son. But you and Julie live in a pixie house on a pink, fluffy planet made of marmalade, and you don't know a thing about what's going on out there in the solid world. Secret sons, secret daughters, secrets, secrets. Everybody has a suitcase full of secrets. Double lives, triple lives, quadruple lives, with a 99 flake and strawberry syrup. I mean... I don't know your mom didn't have a lesbian affair with Julie Andrews, do I? Mary Poppins was certainly her favourite film.
Dad!
Mr. Carolides.
And another thing. I saw the way you two were looking at Bronson, like something that was stuck to your shoe. I tell you this now, he's family, and I want you to love him. I know you two don't value family. You prefer for some reason to hang around with people you actually like and to be married and still in love. That won't do. That is not how normal folks see things. Family is the most important thing there is. Where do you think all those people on the motorways at weekends are going? To visit other members of their family. Do they want to visit them? Of course they don't. You do things you do not like for your family. Do you two hear me?
Yes, Dad.
Now leave me alone. Question time's on the telly in a minute.
He likes to argue with the panelists.
Sometimes they argue back.
Dad, can I just ask you? How come, though, it's you who's got the secret son and been leading the double life? It's me who feels like a guilty shit.
It's a parent thing, son. I believe it's called emotional blackmail. I've got the little boy that you used to be locked up somewhere, and you'll be paying his ransom for the rest of your life.
Great. Come on, Julie, I'll walk you home.
Okay. Bye, Mr. Carolides.
Bye, dear. Make sure Andy does up his scarf. It's cold out.
Yes, Dad.
Bloody hell, that was a shock. What did you think of your secret half-brother-in-law?
He's a bit old to be talking like that, isn't he? He must be over 30.
Yeah, and those clothes. I didn't think anybody still wore that homeboy baseball cap on backwards look, apart from Tory MPs.
Yeah, he's a wannabe rapper. He's a whopper. And what about him wanting to be a DJ?
Yeah, he's a wannabe DJ, a... WeeJay. You know, in Diary of a Nobody, Pooter had this wastrel of a son called Lupin, who was into amateur dramaticals. In this day and age, Lupin would be a DJ.
You play other people's music, but you're the star. What's that all about? They're the artistic equivalent of a vending machine.
It's a mad world, my masters. Still, I suppose we'll have to try and get on with him, for Dad's sake.
Yes, surely we can't be so selfish that we can't make the effort just this once.
No, of course not. I mean, we'd be knitting now.
Andy, what's wrong?
I don't know, my lips have gone all numb.
Your lips have gone all numb.
My lips went all strange. Ah, what? I wonder what caused that.
Pero sí me acuerdo de aquellos momentos cuando me decías que me amabas mucho con todo el cariño de tu corazón. Pero no, no creas que he sido tan floja que has vencido mi alma. Nunca te he querido, ¿para qué negarlo? No quiero tu amor.
Hurricane winds, a flesh-eating virus, and a serial killer on the loose. But don't worry, they're all miles away in the tiny state of Tajikistan.
Shut up!
Dr. Corday, I need Chem-7, blood gases stat, and I love you.
Shut up!
I have to say, Dad, that I reckon I've seen enough episodes of ER to perform simple surgical procedures.
I'm sure you can, son. They say brain surgery, particularly, is a lot easier than it looks.
If this new BMW 325i was a Scotch egg, it'd have hairs on it. If it was the Rome of Coriolanus, it'd have...
Shut up!
Oh, Miss Menti, could you come in here, please? I need you to look at my trousers.
Hey, leave this on, Dad. I like this. I saw it last week.
Bloody hell, Dad. There's the contents of a government radar station in the hall. Julie nearly broke her shoe climbing over it.
It's Bronson's DJ equipment.
Oh, Mr. Clemson, I've never seen one of those before.
Very funny.
Very droll.
Honestly, some of these sitcoms on Channel 4, they're so formulaic, it's like they've been written by a bloody computer.
This isn't so bad.
This is good, this is. Hugh McGregor is particularly believable as the computer salesman.
It's crap. Like nearly everything else on the TV that masquerades as comedy. BBC producers and Channel 4 commissioning editors have sacrificed genuine humour in pursuit of following the latest fad. Big Train, where were the jokes? The Royal Family, same thing. Smack the pony, smack the twat that commissioned it. And while that dross goes out on TV, more senior comedians, who might have got a bit fat and lazy, but who spent years learning their craft, because they're older and unfashionable, can't get their sitcom ideas on the TV, but are reduced to working on the bollocking radio! Woo-hoo!
So, Andy, where's Bronson?
I don't know.
He's not up yet.
Not up yet, but it's 8:30 at night. Well, go and wake him up then. He's in my bed. He said he had a back problem, so I'm sleeping on the dining room table. Well, that's why we haven't had our dinner yet.
Right, I'll go and wake him.
Bronson.
How are you, bro?
It's 8:30.
That early? I don't get up till 10, mate. The best clubs don't open before 4 a.m.
Yeah, well, I thought you might want to come and have a drink with our friends from the refugee centre one night.
Sure, but it'll have to be after 11.
The pub's closed at 11?
Hey, I'm sure you can find one that doesn't.
Yeah, right, I'll fix it.
He's great, isn't he? He's promised to bring some girls home with rings through their nipples.
Andy's going to tell us what's funny about South Park.
So, what did he say about a drink?
Well, he said he'd like to meet the refugees, but...
Andy, are you all right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Oh, my leg stopped working for a second there. How odd. Oh, okay now, though, help me up.
Okay.
Yeah, Bronson wants us to get together for a drink after 11. I don't know anywhere that's open, then. I suppose I could check into a hotel, then have everybody over as my guest.
Don't worry. I know a pub that stays open late. I'll phone the refugees and tell them to meet us there tomorrow night. We can see them after we've been to look at that show house in the Docklands development.
Which development's that?
Depleted Uranium Wharf. It's the last big dock to come onto the market. Prices are surprisingly reasonable for starter homes.
Hello. Yes, he is. No, I don't think that will be necessary. No, I'll put her on. Julie, it's somebody called Janet wants to speak to you. She says if you don't talk to her, she'll destroy Guernsey.
I suppose I'd better take the call, then.
It's not a very nice place, Guernsey. Very snobby.
Still, give me the phone.
Michael, is it every island in the world that you've been banned from?
No, only the ones with people on them.
Hello? What, you've seen me at the immigration department? Oh, yeah, well, I've seen you too, and I think you're doing a great job. Yes, we all saw it on the TV just now. No, we thought it was great. Ewan McGregor was particularly believable as the computer salesman. Noah, you don't want to pay any attention to what TV critics write. And especially not that Victor Lewis Smith in the Evening Standard. I mean, he's a failed comedian himself, isn't he? That's why he's so bitter, because he can't do it. He hates anybody who can. No, you're welcome. Yes, I'd love to meet you for a drink sometime. Okay, Janet, as soon as you grow yourself some wheels then. Great, bye. That's funny. I wonder how she knew I was here. And how did she find the phone number? Well, come to think of it, even I don't know the phone number here.
Nobody does. There isn't one.
Eh?
We don't have a phone number.
The boy's mum was a bit of a snob. First, she had us go ex-directory. And then, when that wasn't exclusive enough for her, she had our number taken away.
So, according to the estate agent at the Depleted Uranium Wharf Information Centre, this should be the show house here.
Yep, here we are. 32 Gulf War Syndrome Drive. Do we just walk in?
I guess so. Well, this hall's nice.
Mm. We'll need 3 bedrooms. One, I suppose, for when Bronson comes there. You want the camera stay?
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know. I suddenly got an Italian accent. Would you like a pepper on that, madame? The lasagna is a special for today. Oh, this is really peculiar. I don't understand.
I do. Every time Bronson is mentioned, you have some sort of bizarre reaction.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Is it? I think you're suppressing a huge amount of aggression towards him, and yet you hate yourself for having these inappropriate, shameful feelings directed at a sibling. So when he's mentioned, you experience these psychotic displacement episodes.
No, really, I'm pretty sure that it's multiple sclerosis.
An atrocious Italian accent is not a symptom of multiple sclerosis.
Hello, you must be Andy and Julie. Come into the living room and meet my husband.
Are you looking at this house too?
No, we live here.
You live here?
Yes, we're the show house show family. This is my husband Josh and
hello.
I'm Emma. The kids, Marcus 5 and Georgia 7, are out at karate class.
Oh, it's good for the kids to learn a martial art.
Oh no, they teach it.
Huh?
I see you're surprised to find us living here. But it makes sense, really, if you think about it.
These days, having a nice show house complete with stylish show furniture isn't enough on a prime development.
You also need a show family who embody the aspirational values of that development.
That's us, the Oberthorpes. Would you like some of my homemade sushi?
Oh.
Yes, thanks. Blimey, that's good.
Isn't it just? This, as you can see, is the living room. We watch TV here, but we don't flip around. We'll circle something in the Radio Times, then the set goes off once it's finished.
The children love Smack the Pony and the Royal Family.
Yes.
But we prefer wildlife documentaries on the National Geographic Channel.
And through here is the dining room. We all sit down to meals together and have a good chat. Then it's off to bed for the kids.
Oh, they're such sleepyheads. Some mornings I have to kick them out as late as 6:30 a.m.
Monkeys.
Otherwise they'd be too late to take soup to the homeless. Before they go to college, of course.
They're both at college?
Yes, taking 8 A-levels between them. They so admire our oldest. He's a scientist in Paris at France's leading research institute, the famous Laboratoire Garnier. Now, if you'll come upstairs. This is the master bedroom. This is where me and Mr. Oberthorpe have wild and inventive sex daily. My husband is the only man I've ever slept with, though I did join him in a threesome with my best friend Candy a couple of times, because he wanted to see what it would be like.
It was okay.
Well, bye then.
Bye then.
Thanks a lot for showing us round.
Lovely to meet you.
Watch out for the mutants by the bus stop.
Yeah, we will, thanks.
What a pack of wankers.
Did you get all that "we're so perfect" crap?
Oh, my husband saved the life of the Dalai Lama.
I mean, anybody who's seen a couple of series of ER could perform that operation.
Of course they could. I think we should get a move on. We're late for meeting the refugees and Bronson in the pub. Should be in here somewhere. I'll get us a drink, then we'll look for them. Hello, a pint of lager and a...
Pint of bitter.
Hello, Julie, sweetheart. How are you doing?
Yeah, fine. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, right. Pint of bitter, pint of lager coming up.
I didn't know you had a regular pub.
Hello, Julie. Nice to see you.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, everybody. Yes, great to see you again, too.
Well, so this is your local?
It used to be, yes, before I met you. I used to come in here every night, Sunday lunchtimes too.
Oh, that's something I've always fancied. Having a local where I was well in, ah, oh, that would be so great. A place where I had loads of mates. Be like a sort of family, but with drinks and snacks at reasonable prices.
Well, yes, it's an important refuge for me, this place. But you must understand, pub mates aren't like proper mates. For a start, there are very strict boundaries. If somebody's having a bad time emotionally and mentally, it's not to be mentioned at any cost. The less unsightly forms of cancer are tolerated. Indeed, might even be an excuse for a sponsored fun run. Most of all, though, you mustn't cause any form of embarrassment. That is the worst thing you can do in a local.
No embarrassments. Understood.
Oh, there's Mr. Hammack, Mr. Lukic and Mrs. Abasanjo over there.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Oh, hello. We are so excited.
We cannot wait to meet our new brother.
Here's Bronson now.
Hey, everybody.
Mrs. Abasanjo, Mr. Lukic, Mr. Hamad, this is my brother Bronson.
Welcome. Hello. Really pleased to meet you. Hey, check out that girl over there. She's looked really great on the end of my knob.
Bronson, we're so glad that Andy and Julie have a brother. We feel that you're our brother too.
Yes, we are separated from our own families.
Great, more family. Hey, Mr. Lukic, that's a cool hat you're wearing.
Yes, my late wife made it. It's all that I have left to remind me of my home in Bosnia.
Can I have it?
What?
Can I have your cool hat, Bosnian brother?
I suppose so. Yes, of course. It's silly of me to try and hang on to the old days.
Look at me, everybody. I've got a cool hat. Black sister, will you get me a drink? I only have Deutschmarks and I'd get them.
Well, I'll get the drinks.
No, I thought Black Sister would like to get me a drink.
Bronson, Mrs. Abasanjo doesn't have any money. She only gets given food coupons to live on from the local council. Why do you think she's drinking a sachet of salad cream from the food bar?
See, that's why Britain should join the common European currency. Then I could buy the drinks.
Oh, yes, Bronson, what would you like?
Lads, whiskey, babe, and whatever everybody else is having.
So, Bronson, you are thinking of moving down
Excuse me, babe. I think I'll go and talk to that girl.
I'm not sure that's a good idea. I think she's with that guy.
Why do you think that?
He's had his hand up her skirt since we came in.
She might just be a friendly girl. Anyway, once she's met Bronson, anything can happen. See you later, Bill and Seb.
But Bronson...
Yeah, later, Adam, mate.
There you go. Why is Bronson talking to Psycho Bob's girlfriend?
He's chatting her up.
Won't Mr. Bob mind?
Oh, hell, this is a nightmare. Bob will kill him. Andy, do something.
God, I'm going to have to go and rescue him from a giant psychopath.
Julie, Andy's squawking like a bird and running around the pub flapping his arms.
Yes, he's causing much embarrassment.
So I can see. Every time he sees Bronson, or Bronson gets mentioned, it sets Andy off. I'm bloody sick of this. Mr. Lukic, do you have your mobile phone?
Yes, here you are.
Hello? Hello, Janet, are you there? Hello?
Julie, you haven't dialed a number.
I know. Janet, hello? Hi. Now, Janet, I wonder if you'd do something for me. Just a little favour.
Julie! 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 Tell them
I'm here with you! Julie!
Bronson, did you pay my shoes? Bronson, have you eaten my hat?
Bronson, I did think
Bronson! Bronson!
Bronson!
Bronson!
Bronson!
See, I recorded all the things you guys say to me, and I put them into this track.
My shoes still smell funny.
Sorry, Bronson. It turns out you had my own ass.
There's somebody at the door.
What?
There's someone at the door.
Bronson, turn the music off. Bronson, turn the music off.
Sure, babe, sure. Keep your cue on. I'll get it. Yes?
Evening, sir. I'm Sergeant Chang. This is DC Mortimer. Is there a Mr. Bronson Reuter here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr. Reuter, I have an order here for your immediate deportation.
But I'm from Manchester. I'm British. You can't deport me from my own country.
It's all official. An order from the Immigration Department's computer. Immediate deportation, no appeal.
Julie, there must be something you can do to stop this.
Oh, shit, Miss Cordova. Look, this deportation order is cast iron.
I'm sure it is. You people don't make mistakes.
Are you? Don't we? All right, Mr. Reuter, if you'll come with us, we'll take you straight to the airport.
This is pan-heading crazy. Where am I being sent?
Well, I've got Tajikistan on the deportation order.
Tajiki where?
Stan.
Who said you could use my first name?
Look after him, Stan. He's not a bad lad.
Well, come on, you. Come on.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I love you. Pan-heading love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Well... That was odd.
Extremely odd.
I'm sorry, Dad.
The Lord giveth and the Chinese take away. I know I said all that stuff about family, but he didn't fit in with us, did he? We all tried our best, and now we're back to normal. Would anybody like some cheese on toast?
I would.
Oh, yes, that'd be lovely, Mr. Karolides.
Yes, please, Dad. Cheese on toast would be great.
Right, then.
This is the life, eh?
Oh, yes. This is the life.
Sorry About Last Night was written by Alexi Sale, who also played Andy. Siobhan Redmond was Julie. Nadim Sawala was Mr. Hamad. Adjoa Ando was Mrs. Abisanjo. Chris Pavlo was Mr. Lukic. Harry Taub was Dad. Gary Bleasdale was Michael. Tony Burgess was Bronson. Simon Greenall and Kay Stonham were Mr. and Mrs. Overthorpe. Other parts were played by the cast. Sorry About Last Night was produced and directed by Joe Clegg with Alexi Sale.